This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with John Swihart, and I'm really excited to be talking with you about the soundtrack for Far Cry New Dawn that you wrote with Tyler Bates. Thanks so much for spending some time.
Sure.
It's such an interesting score because the game is set 17 years after Far Cry 5, and the smaller team at Ubisoft sounds like went in kind of an experimental direction. And I guess right off the bat, you know, both you and Tyler have a lot of film scores to your credit, and you've been friends for a long, long time. So who invited whom to be part of the project?
Tyler invited me is the short answer, but I don't think anybody would be surprised to find out that that was the case with this particular thing, with all of Tyler's huge credits, and he does a lot more epic action type of stuff than I do typically. But like you said, we've been friends for a really long time, and we've been trying to do some comedies together too, but we are having trouble convincing people that as of right now. But we have fun working together. We met through our kids, and our kids were in the same preschool together, and we just kind of hit it off because we have very similar backgrounds. He actually spent some time in Indiana where I grew up too, but we've both worked on farms and put paint on the side of a house. We've both had record deals, which for both of us was when we were most starving, and basically ended up becoming composers out of a necessity to put food in our mouths. So we commiserate with each other really well. So we get along great. Tyler's a really good friend and a great human being. He's one of my favorite people for sure. He's got an impressive ability, you know, obviously with his scores are really good. His guitar playing is phenomenal. And I just really have a lot of admiration for him, and he's a great friend. And this was a really good opportunity for us to do something together, and I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, it sounds incredible. And the mix of just the layers of instruments and the sounds that you guys got is just so fascinating. And there are a couple of cues in particular that I would love to just pull apart and get to, you know, how you achieved that final sound. But right off the bat, I'm kind of wondering, what were those early talks like with the developers at Ubisoft?
They were great. I mean, working with them has been probably one of the best experiences, if not the best experience that I've ever had. They gave us a ton of information up front. You know, we had a really good outline of what the story, the overall sort of the broad brush story of what was happening. I was not that familiar with Far Cry's history. I knew that it was a huge brand in gaming, and I wish I had more time to play more games. And I game a little bit with my son, who's 13, but he's really into Fortnite and all that right now. He's not really into he'll be in Far Cry really soon. But I'm actually probably going to build another gaming PC, so we have two of them at home so we can do that stuff together. But they were great. They gave us a lot of images, a lot of backstory, and you know, they set up this whole, you know, the time period, which was really important, is 15 to 17 years after a nuclear holocaust would have happened. And so you kind of see it at the very beginning of the game where they sort of give the backstory really quickly. Of course, that piece wasn't done when we started, but they had a lot of images dealing with, you know, this is what the Earth would be like 2 years and then 5 years and 10 years after. And then you get to this super bloom era, and people are thriving again. you know, they were really good at making us familiar with the whole politics of the highwaymen coming from the east and the people who were trying to bring law back to the land coming from the west and arriving in this space that's sort of the upper northwest area of the United States, where the father had been, and his community still survived and thrives, along with a lot of other people who were just living off the land. So they gave us a lot of information that really helped us imagine what was going on. And they also, you know, they let us know that they wanted a big part of the music to feel very makeshift, like the weapons that are in the game. There's a lot of really cool weapons that are sort of made out of three other weapons or tools, or, you know, like the whole circular saw thing is pretty awesome. So they wanted the music to sort of sound like it was made with instruments that were also makeshift instruments that may have been made out of two or three other instruments, or just, you know, post-apocalyptic stuff you could find to make music with if you were a musician. So we had a lot of fun. That was actually maybe one of the more challenging things, is coming up with these sort of makeshift sounds. So we did a lot of pre-recording of things. The Ubisoft guys kept saying, they kept saying it was kind of like the Wild West. So those two words, Wild West, came up a lot. So we kind of drew on some spaghetti Western style, like harmony and theme ideas, just a couple of them also, which seemed to be effective and gave us an opportunity to actually write some music, you know, that was very sort of theme oriented.
Thank you.
Another thing that was great, this is my very first video game that I've ever scored. So Tyler was definitely a huge help to me because I was, you know, like, how do you do this? And, you know, I mean, it's obviously, you know, you write music for it and then that's it. But, you know, I was really sort of unaware of the whole mechanical process, which I'm very much aware of now.
But I bet.
Yeah, but I mean, it was fun. I got to say, it's great. You know, when you work on a TV show or a film, there'll be a lot of temp music or, you know, they'll put in temporary music, they call it, when they're cutting a lot of times. Just they're screening it. Sometimes they're screening it ahead of time before you even get hired. So you may get hired and then there's all this music that's in the film that's making the film work already. And then you have to sort of come up with something original that's not too different from what's been in there, or it has to function the same way at least and provide the same sort of feelings and emotional content so you can help tell the story ultimately. But in this case, all we got was a bunch of images, and we could write, you know, there's a couple 4 or 5 minute pieces of music we could write. And that's another thing that was really great, where you really get to flesh out an idea and really have a long drawn out sort of melody if you want, and you're not getting interrupted by the end of a scene, you know, or anything like that. So it was really nice just to sit and crank out some music. And you know, Tyler and I would pass stuff back and forth and sort of give each other notes on stuff, which was really great. I mean, this is maybe one of my favorite things about it, was actually getting to learn from Tyler in that way. You know, like, because he's done so much epic action type of stuff, and I've done mostly, you know, coming of age comedies and so on, even though we're both like heavy metal dudes basically from when we were kids. So it was just really great to get feedback from him on that level, you know, and just sort of bounce ideas off of him and see what he was thinking about him and so on. He actually pushed me. You know, I think there's a certain, I remember when we got hired on this, when he asked me to do the gig with him, which is kind of how it happened, I was like, okay, I'm going to do the gig, but your friendship's more important than the gig. Just remember that. You know, when you're working together creatively, it can be, you know, people, you work really, really, really hard on something, and then, you know, it might just not be quite right for whatever it is. And a lot of times that happens. You just have to overwrite and you just keep going until you come up with enough stuff that works.
So did they give you enough time, the development team at Ubisoft, did they give you enough time to really experiment and just play around with lots of stuff? Or did you have a kind of a tight deadline to really get the music ready so that it could be put in the game?
At the beginning, it felt like I had a ton of time. and then it was like, okay, you know, after you know what it is. But we had, I mean, compared to some movies that I worked on where I had 3 weeks to score a whole movie where I had to crank out 60 minutes of music or something, this was 2.5 hours of music, and we had, you know, a few months. So I felt like we had the perfect amount of time to actually do it. And they were actually, I think we may have gone like a few days over schedule, but they were really just great about it, everything. They were really patient with us, and we ended up just writing maybe 70 or 80 different pieces of music that were just, you know, sketch number one, sketch number two, et cetera. And then from there, Ubisoft was able to say, you know, we really like this, you know, number 36 for this. We like the vibe in this, you know, for this part of the game. And then eventually we would start getting some gameplay just so we could sort of see some rough ideas, even though a lot of the animations were not complete or completely rendered out. Some of them were just black and white sketches, but at least you get the idea a little bit more of the story.
Thank you. the look of the game is so unique because of that super bloom that has happened over a few years. It gives it such a, like a really super vibrant quality. And that must have been an interesting thing to work with because, you know, in a lot of post-apocalyptic games, the world looks super bleak and really gloomy and everything's just sort of like little dead trees and tumbleweeds blowing around and stuff. So it must have been fun to be able to bounce ideas off that really vibrant palette too.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they did some real scientific research on, you know, the timeline of what scientists think would happen, you know, after a nuclear holocaust. And it definitely, the super bloom was definitely a huge player in the game, for us creatively anyway. Especially there was several exploration cues where you're just sort of walking around in the woods or, you know, wherever, exploring essentially. And it is beautiful. The landscape's really beautiful. You know, nature's sort of taking the earth back halfway anyway.
Yeah, your Q Super Bloom is beautiful because you've got, yeah, some of those kind of crafted sounding instruments, and then there's a hammered dulcimer in there. And again, just the layers give it a really complexity, just like the landscape. So the exploration cues, I think, are fantastic. You guys did a great job with those.
And those are fun.
So, yeah. Well, it's kind of circling back to the idea of crafting instruments. How did you start? Because if, you know, in the game, you can make weapons, like the first crossbow that you get, you just sort of scavenge around and cobble things together. But how did you start to put ideas together for what, you know, a scavenged instrument would be like?
Well, first of all, we use this instrument called guitar viol, which Tyler's used in a bunch of movies already. He talked me into buying one, and then I ended up buying another one, and they're not cheap, so I blame him. But they're awesome. There are this guy in Burbank, I think is where he is. He makes them, Jonathan Wilson, and they're really interesting instruments. And it's, you know, it's different from like Jimmy Page bowing a Les Paul, because the strings move a different way, so you need different kinds of pickups for those strings, and the, you know, the neck is arched the way a cello would be, essentially. I guess he calls it a guitar viol because the guitar is closest to a viola, at least in the range of where the notes are. I have an electric one, and then I have a baritone acoustic one. These things can make all kinds of really great sounds. You can bow them like a cello and play little cello type of melodies that sound kind of homespun. They have it's not quite like a cello. It's like, it's just kind of a strange sound, but we were mostly just running them through all kinds of distortion pedals and modulation pedals and coming up with sounds that way. And some of those sounds we would then put into granular synth engines and turn them into instruments we could play on a keyboard. And like you said, the hammer dulcimer, there is a Northwestern hammer dulcimer, which is supposed to be from that area of the country. So I have one of those, and I ended up just creating some textural things with that. I would do, you know, a number of takes and then layer the takes together and then add a bunch of delays and sometimes feed that into a through a granular plugin from the GRM tools, which have been around for a long time but still work really well. And just come up with these sort of washy sort of textures that we could use. You know, they would be playing in a key. So basically anything that you would lay in up against it, as long as it was in that key, it could live in the background of whatever that piece of music was. And it was more of a texture. And we would use that a lot in the Super Blooms or some of the stealth cues too were really fun because they sort of go back and forth between action and the Super Bloom type of exploration.
Yeah, that track Deep Cover is very cool because it does exactly that. And did the devs at Ubisoft ask you at all to use the music to kind of define the different factions, like the Highwaymen and the people that, you know, your character, the captain, is supposed to be helping? Or were they more just sort of general guidelines for what the action cues were going to sound like and then what they wanted the exploration cues to sound like?
What we wanted to emphasize with the action cues is that there would be desert action cues, and then there would be open world or more overgrown part of the world action cues. So those, we tried to make those, we used more acoustic elements in the overgrown action cues, and then the desert action cues are more electronic and just super abrasive sounding. You know, we didn't really, the only themes we had that were attached to characters may have been mostly the twins, who were kind of the leaders of the Highwaymen. But other than that, we sort of just had general story vibe. You know, like you said, you'd have exploration. There were some specific scenes, obviously, that we had to score, like the walk with Father, and there was a scene with the twins where they assassinate.
Is that Rush?
Yeah. And there's two ways that we had to score that scene, and that obviously involved the twins. And then we had to kill the mutant. That was a scored, or something was made specifically for that, and kill the beast, you know, with the bears. That was a specific thing too. So in that sense, we were scoring those things specifically. But I'm not sure we actually focused on any individual per se, other than the twins, character-wise.
Yeah, they are horrifying. I mean, the Far Cry games are so good at creating these characters that are just so menacing, and you just know if you look at them wrong, they're going to kill you. And the twins are totally like that. And so the cues that you wrote with them in it just like really reflect that tension. So you guys like totally got that.
It was good fodder for us. We had a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, I'll bet. One of the tracks on the soundtrack that just absolutely jumped out at me because it was so terrifying is Saw Launcher. And I haven't gotten that far in the game yet, so I'm not really sure what the context is, but it just grabs you and it doesn't let you go. And so I would love to know how you and Tyler put that track together.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah, that thing.
This was a desert action cue, I think, when it started out. And we were just trying to find the most abrasive sounding thing we could possibly find. And it's funny because I remember Tyler telling me stories when he was working on some of the projects he's worked on in the past. And we'd be hanging out and he'd be like, yeah, this is the ugliest thing I've ever made. So I was thinking about that and we were throwing some ideas back and forth and we came up with this thing where we were just scratching, you know, there's this like Gene Simmons thing where you take your pick and scratch it all the way down your guitar neck. You know, it's like a typical rock thing from the 70s and 80s or whatever. But we were doing that, just barely moving the pick, like probably a quarter of an inch, not even. And that's what that sound is. And you kind of, when you scratch the guitar string, it's kind of like a sawing sound. And if you just do it in the right spot and only move it a little bit with a ton of distortion on, you kind of make the string sing at that pitch as though it was fretted at that pitch. So, and it's actually, when I played in Blue Man Group, we used to do this. I used to play in the band in Blue Man Group a long time ago when they opened the Vegas show. That was my parachute out to the West Coast financially. But we did this thing where we had a bass string that we would scratch on another bass string, and basically we'd end up bowing the bass and you can pitch it basically. So this was the same kind of thing, except we were scratching with a guitar pick and just, you know, creating this really abrasive sound, but we could do it and maintain a pitch. So we would have a note as a result. So you have two different ones. You have that wah, 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 and then the other one that goes down farther, that was a separate recording. And we would sort of cobble these things together after, you know, making a bunch of recordings of us. You know, we would do a lot of takes and then end up cutting the good ones together and so on. But it came out pretty abrasive.
Yeah, it did. I'm just picturing this huge, scary, massive weapon that you could like mow guys down with. But that process is so interesting because, again, it sounds like you're crafting. You're crafting the instruments to go with the soundtrack. So that is just fascinating. One of the things that you mentioned in an earlier interview that is that once you've kind of created some of these sounds, you'd have to like go for a walk and roll them around in your head for a little while. So how did that help you, I guess, weed out all these different sounds and then focus on what was going to be the right one?
I think Ubisoft really helped us figure out which one was the right one ultimately, because so typically when you're working on a TV or a movie, you have a very short period where you can be super creative and, you know, you have a lot of freedom basically. And then eventually you sort of find out what scares people, and then you sort of bring it back into a zone where people are going to be comfortable with it. Anyway, so what was interesting about this experience, again, that period of creativity where we had a lot of liberty to do whatever we wanted, it just seemed to sort of never end. So after about a month and a half of just cranking out tracks, that they eventually said, okay, we need action cues and they need to basically be this long, and we knew they would be action and they needed to have a lot of energy and a lot of tension, you know, the stakes are high, that kind of vibe basically. So we would get guided, or we had exploration cues or whatever, so we kind of knew what we had to sort of go towards. And then eventually they ended up, we were still just writing sketches though, but keeping those things in mind. And then Ubisoft would say, we really like this piece of music. We were just turning in music every week, once a week. And then we would get on the phone and talk, and they would give us a little bit more guidance. But what was really interesting, and I'll just keep coming back to this, working with Ubisoft was just phenomenal. And they were so gracious and excited that we were excited. And they wanted us to make something that we thought was cool, basically. And that kind of never stopped happening. So when you talk about having to go for a walk to sort of decipher which cue or which sound was actually going to be working or not, I think those things become obvious over time. I'm not really sure, but these things, you just sort of, it's not throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks necessarily, but it kind of is. We try things and, you know, some things would resonate with the story and some things wouldn't, essentially.
Well, Jason Graves was telling me when he did the music for Far Cry Primal that he kept just getting more and more experimental, and he kind of was expecting that there would be a moment where the devs at Ubisoft would like pull him back and say, no, you've gone too far. That's enough, thanks. But they never did. And so I'm wondering, it sounds like you had kind of a similar experience, that they were just encouraging you to just really push things so that you could get a sound that, like you say, that you were like really, really happy with.
Yeah. And I would totally agree with that. We had a very similar experience, it sounds like. You know, composers generally always have this feeling that, you know, anytime you create something and then present it to somebody else, you're opening yourself up for, you know, some kind of criticism. So you always have that feeling like, you know, are they going to like this? Is this too far? And then I like to do, and I know Tyler likes to do this too, is you try and be as experimental as possible right from the beginning, but you expect people to pull the reins back in on you. But once you realize that the reins aren't getting pulled back on you, then you do tend to even push it even farther. And in some sense, that almost puts the pressure of designing it back on to us instead of, you know, relying on somebody else to tell you what to do. But that's actually really, really fun. To me, it's the most rewarding way to work. And I've worked on a couple movies like this where I've worked with directors, and then they will give me a script maybe a year before the movie gets shot even. And I start writing music when they start shooting. And then when they get to the edit suite, they have a bunch of music they can cut in that's original music that's been created from the script. And this, doing this video game is perhaps the closest thing to that, where that's the closest thing that I've ever done that's anything like the video game experience that we had with Ubisoft.
Yeah, that's remarkable, because I think a lot of times, from what I've heard, writing a score for a film is quite a bit different, and you're brought in kind of almost at the last minute to provide the music. But this sounds amazing. And one of the things that Ubisoft suggested to you guys for the sound that they wanted was trap music. And I'm not all that familiar with it, but wow, does it work? I mean, just those complex rhythms and that kind of metallic sound and those drums in the background are just amazing. So what kind of challenges did you guys have to put that in the music?
I'm a huge fan of electronic music and a lot of different kinds of genres. I'm obsessed with Witch House right now. There were a lot of challenges, you know, because it's, especially when you talk about an action type of cue. Like if you think of a movie, like an action movie, and you think of these action pieces of music that you typically hear in a film, they're usually at a very different tempo than what trap music is. They're usually, you know, 128 to 140, somewhere in between there. And trap music is really slow at 140 because it's really a halftime. So trap music is typically like, you know, 150 to 170 or 180 even, but it's really a halftime feel. So when you're at 180, you're really, you know, at 90 BPM. It feels like a halftime thing. So we had to have a lot of other percussive elements that would be continuously going. And there's, you know, trap music kind of comes out of a lot of different genres. It's a little hip hop. It's a little, it's got a little bit of that British garage or drum and bass type of sound in it too. We were able to weave some drum and bass stuff in the background, which kind of helped keep the tension up, because drum and bass is typically really sort of up-tempo feeling. The other challenges were just dealing with the low frequency information in general, because you know, you're dealing with, once you get into trap music, a lot of times the kick drum is the bass. And then, you know, if people are playing on game, you know, on a gaming PC, if they don't have headphones, you want to make sure they still hear the music right. So we were, you know, rendering out kick drums and then rendering them out an octave up as well, just to make sure that people could hear the pitch if their speakers weren't able to go as low as as my speakers or whatever. It's typical sort of EDM type of production. But a lot of the trap that we were kind of influenced by for this is more of the Ghost Main type. It's not really like your Drake style of trap. It's not like that pop sort of R&B type of trap music. It's more like the dark, spooky type of stuff that Ghost Main does, or, you know, there's a bunch of artists that do that. That was maybe one of the bigger challenges, managing low frequency information, keeping the tension up with those halftime feels. And yeah, I guess those were the big challenges.
I've talked with a lot of composers who always say that one of the things they love about a new game score and working on a new game score is that it really pushes them to try new stuff. And so it sounds like this was a new step in a new direction for you too.
It definitely was for me, as being my first video game. And, you know, it was just really fun to just, it was almost like making an album. You know, that's kind of what the process was like. So we were like making 2 or 3 minute pieces of music all the time, which is very different from, you know, a lot of the especially the TV stuff where everything's kind of short. Even when it's long, it's short.
Well, so are you ready to dive in and work on another game score?
I would love to do another game. I'd love to do another game with Tyler. I'd love to work for Ubisoft again. All of it, you know, bring it on. It was fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it, just start to finish. Well, John, thank you so much for taking some time to talk about it, because I really enjoyed it. And again, the soundtrack is just absolutely awesome. So thank you so much.
I'm glad you like it.